This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, April 9th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, the last in a series on clean coal technology. Shauna Lee will bring us that report, and we'll talk about the technology of storing carbon dioxide emissions underground. We'll also check the forecast for Champaign-Urbana. First, a look at today's news. The man who allegedly threatened police with a machete just before he was shot and killed didn't fit the profile of a dangerous man. That's the conclusion of the man who coached 23-year-old Oktawada Funmi Kaiwu when he was in high school in Texas. Kaiwu led police in a 35-mile chase from Villa Grove to near Oakwood Monday night. Police say he was shot multiple times after he got out of the car swinging a machete. Jim Creech says Kaiwu went by the first name Toto when he played linebacker at Dulles High School in Sugarland, Texas, a Houston suburb. Creech remembers Kaiwu as a very mannerly and well-liked player.
Finishing up my 32nd year in public education and coaching, and the longer you're in it, the less you're shocked, I guess. But this still, even after all that, really shocks me, because that's not the there had to be another situation. I don't know what it would be, but that's just not the young man that I knew.
Champaign County Sheriff's Police say they're not releasing any new information on the incident. State police are investigating, and the Champaign and Vermilion County officers who were involved in the shooting are on paid leave during the investigation. Military jurors in California are deliberating whether a Marine sergeant from East Central Illinois should be convicted of murdering an unarmed detainee during a battle in Iraq. The jury got the case after closing arguments in which a defense attorney insisted his client acted in self-defense. Sergeant Ryan Weimer is from the Douglas County village of Hinesboro. He's charged with unpremeditated murder and dereliction of duty in the November 2004 death in Fallujah. Weimer could face a dishonorable discharge and life in prison if convicted by a panel of 8 Marines who served in Iraq or Afghanistan. The prosecutor, Captain Nicholas Gannon, recounted that Weimer stated in recorded interviews that he shot the man and told a squadmate that he would have to live with that for the rest of his life. The school facility's sales tax, approved by Champaign County voters on Tuesday, faces one more hurdle, the Champaign County Board. AM 580's Jim Meadows explains.
State law requires the county board to pass an ordinance setting up the school facility sales tax after county voters approve it. The law gives the county board the option of lowering the tax rate. Voters in Champaign County approved the sales tax at 1 cent on the dollar, but the county board could lower it to 1/2 or 1/4 cent. However, County Board Policy Committee Chairman Tom Betts says he'll vote for the full 1%. The Urbana Democrat supports the full amount, even though he opposed the school sales tax personally.
It was promoted as a 1 cent sales tax, a 1% sales tax. That's what the voters are going to get. So if I have a vote on it, it's going to be exactly what the voters voted on. They said 1 cent, that's what they're getting. It doesn't matter how I personally feel, but I will absolutely honor what the voters did.
The new sales tax is expected to go before Betts' policy committee before it's sent to the full county board. County Board Chairman Pius Weibel says he also supports approving the school facility sales tax at its full 1%. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
State Senator Dan Rutherford is making official his interest in a run for state treasurer next year. He announced yesterday he's formed an exploratory committee. The announcement by the Shenandoah Republican was expected. Former Republican presidential hopeful Mitt Romney already has hosted a fundraiser for Rutherford. The Illinois State Treasurer's job could be open next year because the current office holder, Democrat Alexi Janulius, is considering a run for the U.S. Senate seat held by Roland Burris. Meanwhile, Burris was in the Metro East area Wednesday as part of an economic tour through the southern part of the state. Speaking to union workers in Granite City, Burris reiterated the importance of his vote in the passage of President Obama's stimulus package. In the time since his controversial appointment and despite calls to step down, Burris continues to maintain that his presence is good for the state of Illinois.
I'm the United States Senator. I got problems out here that my constituents are suffering with. I'm out here trying to hear them and learn so that when I go back into the Senate, I can be effective because I now have firsthand knowledge.
Burris appeared more comfortable and laid back since the days when the state legislature considered a special trial to replace him. He also said that he isn't concerned in any way about further implication that may arise during the criminal trial of former Governor Rod Blagojevich. A veterinary surgeon at the University of Illinois' Urbana campus will operate on a whooping crane today. The rare bird was discovered in a field near the McLean County town of Gridley earlier this month with multiple breaks in its left leg. Dr. Avery Bennett of the U of I Veterinary Teaching Hospital will try to stabilize the leg. He'll attach carbonized rods along the outside of the leg using pins set into the bones. The rods should support the bird's weight while the leg heals. But the operation is just the first stage of treating the whooping crane. During the healing process, Dr. Bennett says they'll have to be careful that the crane doesn't get too used to human contact.
If the bird gets habituated to humans, it won't be afraid of humans, and that becomes problematic for it being releasable and having a life in the wild. So part of the post-operative management is to try to minimize the interactions with humans so it doesn't get comfortable with humans and it maintains a healthy fear of humans.
Bennett says it should take about 3 to 4 weeks for the whooping crane's leg to heal. Then he says a team of wildlife experts will decide if the bird is able to return to the wild. If it isn't, Bennett expects the crane will spend the rest of its life in a zoo. There are fewer than 500 whooping cranes in the world, wild or caged. Bennett says this particular crane was part of a carefully monitored flock based in Wisconsin. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Carbon dioxide emissions that cause global warming are driving power companies to a decision. They can move away from burning coal altogether, or they can work on technology to eliminate their CO2 emissions someday. While they're making that decision, some of the nation's oldest, dirtiest coal-burning power plants still run. In the final part of the series on the future of coal, the Environment Report's Shauna Lee looks at why they billow dangerous air pollution stuff most people think we cleaned up long ago.
I've seen plenty of environmental protests.
Clean up the power plants. Save lives, save our city, show your support, sign a petition.
This one has me intrigued. It's not because of what the protesters want. They want to shut down 2 coal-burning power plants in Chicago. I'd heard that before, and I'd heard their statistics too, like how each year, air pollution from these kinds of power plants causes 17,000 Americans to die early from smog and other hazards. No, what strikes me is that these teenagers are singing Bob Dylan.
Please get out of the new world if you can. Lend your hand for the times they are changing.
Their parents or maybe even their grandparents could have sung this. But however old the song is, the power plants they're trying to shut down, they're even older. And they're still allowed to create more pollution than newer plants. Brian Urbaszewski has one answer to why so little has changed. He's with the Respiratory Health Association of Metropolitan Chicago.
People ask, well, why is it taking so long to clean up the power plants? Well, it's expensive to clean up an old power plant, and the people who own them don't particularly want to spend the money to do that.
This isn't the way it was supposed to work. Urbaszewski says when Congress enacted the Clean Air Act back in 1970, it gave old power plants a pass.
The basics are that old power plants were not expected to have to meet the same standards as new power plants.
But there was a catch. The old power plants wouldn't have to clean up if they kept the same equipment, and they didn't pollute any more than before. Urbaszewski says the industry treated this like a loophole.
A lot of these plants had major parts replaced and they were restored to almost original working order. The companies didn't add those pollution controls.
The federal government, industry, and environmentalists are stuck in court over which improvements at old coal-burning power plants should trigger new pollution controls. President George W. Bush sided with industry on the so-called New Source Review issue. But now, President Obama might reverse that, and the industry is worried.
In terms of new source review, we remain in limbo.
Dan Riedinger handles public relations for the Edison Electric Institute. It represents private power companies.
Still, you know, decades later, we don't have the type of written guidance that we need to know what types of changes we can make at power plants.
An overhaul of new source review is coming at a bad time for Riedinger's industry. The government is clamping down even harder on soot and the pollutants that cause smog. And there are new rules to protect fish and other animals from mercury emissions. But future carbon caps are the wild card. Congress might make power plants slash carbon dioxide emissions. Riedinger says burning coal could become expensive, and the smallest, oldest power plants might not make the cut.
We may be required to retire some coal plants prematurely and to replace them with natural gas. A natural gas plant produces about half the amount of CO2 as does a coal plant.
If the power industry shifts away from coal and toward other fuels for the sake of carbon, we might also get some of the quickest cutbacks in air pollution in decades at the same time. It might be a kind of clean air twofer. The times, maybe they are a-changing. For the Environment Report, I'm Sean Aldi.
In our forecast for the region, mostly sunny this morning and partly sunny today with a chance of showers this afternoon, the high around 58 degrees. Showers are likely tonight, not as cool, the low around 42. Showers likely Friday, the high around 58 degrees, breezy, winds up to 25 miles per hour. Partly cloudy Friday night, the low around 32 degrees. Sunny skies Saturday, the high around 58, mostly clear skies Saturday night, the low around 35, mostly sunny Sunday, the high around 58 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, April 9th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.